This podcast is sponsored by Monarch Money. Are you saving to reach your financial goals? Reaching those goals isn't just about getting more money, but by managing what you have. And the best way to manage your money? Monarch Money. Monarch Money is a new kind of finance app that's intuitive, powerful, ad-free, and takes the headaches out of budgeting. Try it free when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. Monarch puts all your accounts, investments, transactions, and finances at your fingertips. With a complete view of your finances, you'll gain insights on your spending and find new ways to save. Plus, Monarch lets you customize your dashboard, collaborate with your partner, set custom budgets and goals, and track your progress toward them. See why Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it, and why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch Money the best budgeting app overall. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a special episode. The man that I'm bringing on today, I'm telling you, it's been some years since he's been on the show last, but I've been following him on Instagram, big time. So at Mr. Scott Eddy, he's a travel, I don't even know if I should say, travel media personality, influencer, travel connoisseur. I mean, how many different things can I add here? Hey, without further ado, Mr. Scott Eddy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, man. It's been a while.
Man, I feel
it's
like
it's been a while.
Yeah, since there's been a pandemic, the algorithm stole you from me. Maybe I didn't like every single one of your posts, and for a moment there, you weren't on my feed, and I'm like, what's going on? What's up with Scott? And then I'm like, no, it was the algorithm. The algorithm stole me from you. So I remember going back in when I caught one of your posts, and then I'm like, I just started liking a bunch of them. I was like, man, Scott's probably like, man, what's this guy doing? I'm like, I wanted you back. I needed the algorithm to know. Oh man, that's so great. How have you been?
I've been good. You know, pandemic turned everything upside down for the travel industry. So, you know, I as you would expect, I went to zero with everything. My whole life basically went to zero, and then you got to rebuild. And travel is booming. I'm going nonstop, and things are good.
Yeah. So all of my listeners that aren't familiar, and by the way, I got the handle right? It's at Mr. Scott Eddy?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
On all platforms.
Sure. Obviously, I've been following you for so long that I don't even remember, but I just wanted to make sure I had that right. I want my listeners to definitely go and check out this content. And I have to tell you, so for individuals that thought about or thinking about, travel, of course, but even just building a lifestyle around something you love. When I first was introduced to your content, I got it immediately. Like I was like, you know, when people are really doing something they're passionate with or they love, it comes across. It comes across on camera. Like you're not forced. You're not like, it's obvious that you're loving what you do. Like how did you get into this? Like how did that start? Like that you became this travel influencer?
So if you want to go way back,
take me back.
My life was set up to be a police officer. I mean, I grew up in a family full of cops, and I grew up in Fort Lauderdale. And my dad, before we moved to Fort Lauderdale, my dad was on Michigan State Police. And then we moved to Fort Lauderdale when I was little, and he was on Fort Lauderdale Police for 11 years. And in middle school and high school, every day after school, I used to be in the police department. You know, I went on ride-alongs, and I mean, I watched my first autopsy when I was like 13 years old. I took my driver's license test in a police car. Like it was my whole life. I had a date to join the police academy 6 months after I graduated high school. And 3 weeks before I graduated, my father was killed in the line of duty in a plane crash. And it turned my whole world upside down. Didn't want to be a police anymore. Wasn't really trained or skilled to do anything else. I was a horrible student, so college wasn't really in the cards. I hated school. And it was 1989. The stock markets are going through the roof. And my friend was working at a firm in New York. And bunch of guys from that firm were moving down to Fort Lauderdale to open up their own investment banking firm. He said, listen, I can get you in to the training program. And I was like, all right, whatever. Like, I just didn't have any other options. So I went in and it was successful. And I did it for 10 years. I was in investment banking all of the 90s and learned how to sell anything to anybody, which was, looking back at it now, it's the best skill I could ever learned. When they came out of the office one day, it was January. It was on a Friday, 1999. They came out of the office and said, if you show up on Monday, you're going to have new owners. Half the firm resigned, including myself.
Wow.
And so the guy who was sitting next to me, his best friend was an expat who was working in Bangkok. And he, whenever he used to come back and for trips, we used to hang out for drinks and dinner, whatever. And we became really friendly. And he always used to tell me to come visit him. And I always used to say, listen, I work 90 hours a week. I can't take a 24-hour flight. Basically what all my friends tell me now.
You're like, I'm an entrepreneur. What do you mean?
Right, like, right.
That was before we all knew that being an entrepreneur, you know, for many of us.
Exactly. Exactly. So he called me the day after I resigned and he said, get your butt over here. Just come for a visit. Trust me, it'll change your life. And wow. I bought a 2-week ticket. After 4 days, I called my mother. I said, I'm never coming home. I love this place. Send my stuff. And I never used my return ticket. And I lived in Bangkok for 11 years.
How long ago was this, just roughly? I'm just curious.
I went in January of 99.
Wow. And I want to stick in the early days just a little bit longer, because I feel like, you know, that concept of you were going to be a police officer and all these things that were built up like that. That word identity, like you had this identity and this thing that you were for so long, like that must have been rough. Like all of a sudden, obviously, of course, your father, of course, but your identity too. So you kind of lose almost two things at one time, huh?
Yeah. I mean, to today, it law enforcement and being a cop is like internal in my body. Like I still have all my cousins are cops and I still have loads of friends that are in law enforcement all over the world. And like, I can
relate to that, by the way. So growing up in Michigan, my family owns the second or the longest running bar in Michigan. I mean, it was a cop bar. It's been around for over 100 years, never closed. Yeah. Right. And so I grew up in the atmosphere of firefighters and police officers. And when I was, you know, getting out of high school, even the thought was I was going to, you know, be set up for a job, driving a fire truck. Like that was supposed to be my future. And that's what I was thinking about. That's where my head was. So I can kind of relate to this thing of identity and the difference. So that's why I asked you that question. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it stays with you forever. Mm. Like I can't travel to a new country and pass by a police officer and not think about it or not like want to go give the guy a hug and like thank him for everything that he does. Like it's weird. Like it's just, it's strange. Like
I love it. And I gotta tell you this. So last night, true story, Scott, last night I'm in Beverly Hills. I'm in like the hills, like you're looking at
right.
Amazing, expansive. We're doing an event with Light Dow and there's just like, let's just say the who's who's, just all these people
right.
here. Right? The event organizer, I believe that maybe one of his people weren't, they didn't show up or who knows, I don't know. But anyway, so everybody's doing this like centering meditation and they're doing it kind of downstairs, but there's nobody watching and or working the door to either greet new people or make sure that randoms don't walk in. Cause even the event
right.
host is downstairs. So me with, again, being in the DNA, what do you think I'm doing? Standing at the door, working the door, making sure, and literally writing name tags. You registered? Who are you? Whatever. And I'm
so funny.
They think I work there. I'm a guest. And I'm like, no, yeah, we're not.
That's hilarious.
So that's what, when I say it's in my DNA, like you say it's in your DNA, that's what
yeah,
we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're protected.
Yeah.
We can't help it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. Yeah, so getting back to Thailand, so like I loved it. Like I loved it so much. And think about those dates. Mm. I got there before social media was invented.
Man, that's true.
So I was in Southeast Asia when social media came out. So on a whim, I started the first digital agency in Asia, and we were the biggest for 5 years. Not because we were the best. Wow. It's because there was no options.
Nobody knew. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
So that's really where I built my name. Mm-hmm. And then I sold it. And like I was first 2,000 people on Twitter. Like I was and now I have like 600,000, but like mm-hmm. Elon's killing Twitter. So it's basically worthless. But before a lot of people dropped off and they got rid of all the just dead accounts mm-hmm. that people don't use anymore, I was the first American expat in any Asian country to have 1 million followers on Twitter.
Man.
Back then, that was front page news.
Yeah.
The social was so new and so hot, especially in Asia. Like, if you think it's hot here, in Asia, social media is like through the roof.
Oh, yeah. The amount of views.
Yeah.
Like, TikTok in Asia is like, oh my gosh. It's like to have.
Like people millions, like people have no idea.
Yeah. Millions
think,
of
think,
views.
Think about this. Think about this. The first 3 out of the first 4 years that Instagram was even invented, the most Instagram place on the planet was Bangkok.
Wow.
And that's when I was there.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So that led to speaking gigs and I sold the agency. I really concentrated on social but not social the way you think about it today. There was no social media campaigns and come to my hotel for free. Everything's for free as long as you post about us. There was none of that. There was no exchange for posts for hotels or anything like that.
Because they didn't.
It was basic.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Because at this point, it was still just considered I shouldn't use the word a game, but they didn't know. Like nobody knew.
It was a game. Yeah, 100%.
Or the
100%
social media. So for you to say that, they'd probably be like a hashtag, a tweet, or this or that. Well, what? Like there was no value.
Yeah. No, it was for fun. It was a joke. It was to pass the time. It was a place where you posted pictures so your friends and family could see. Like that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember back then, first off, everybody went to Twitter for news because there was no news apps. There was no news feed in Facebook feed and things like that. So I was basically using social media just to get attention. And then once I got the attention, I would do consulting work and just all kinds of stuff and the majority of it was in hospitality. I never set out to concentrate in hospitality.
Oh, wow.
It was a natural progression because I was there when social media or when Southeast Asia was blowing up.
Hmm.
And what does blowing up mean? Blowing up means resorts, restaurants, nightclubs, hotels, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I ended up living in 6 different countries for 17 years. So I did Thailand for 11 years, Philippines for 1. Sri Lanka for 1, Spain for 4, Portugal for 1, and UK for 1. And then I came back to the States in 2015, which I think is where we met.
Yeah.
About that time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it would be probably, I think, 2016.
Because I was in San Francisco for about a year.
Yep. It would have been either 2016 or 2017 off the top of my head because we started this this whole shindig at 2016. So it would have been one of those two for sure.
Yeah.
So now, I mean, thank you for sharing, by the way, the backstory of this, but now, you know, present day, I'm in catching up in otherwise, you've seen the ups, you've seen the downs. I mean, obviously you saw the Asian financial crisis. I mean, you've been through all these things,
sure.
2008, all those things. And I'm just curious, like now, you know, post pandemic travels opening up, obviously I know many of the sectors are doing very well. What are your thoughts? Like, tell me about the market, man. You're my inside.
As far as social media, as far as travel.
Not as far as travel, like your niche and what you're out there doing. Like, tell me about the market.
So,
like, how are things for you?
So here's something that most people don't know is I don't pitch myself.
Yeah.
I connect myself with a lot of decision makers in the hospitality industry globally on social media across all platforms, whether it be LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, it doesn't matter. And I'm very active on social. So I'm always top of mind because I'm always in somebody's newsfeed. Then when they see something that I post that they like, they're like, oh yeah, I want that to be done for my client. So that has been my strategy to get clients since I started. And it still fills up my whole calendar. And post pandemic, the cruise industry has been booming like nothing else. We've been cruising a lot.
I haven't been on one in a while, but I did hear that. So it is packed, isn't it? It's interesting. Why do you think that is? Just from your vantage.
So I'll explain exactly the reason. And listen, it has to be for you again. Some people don't like cruising. As far as cost benefits and less stress, nothing can beat it. And let me explain why. Now, even though the pandemic is, out of there, shockingly, there's still companies out there using the pandemic as an excuse for some ridiculous reasons. Yeah. But it's gone, okay? Mm-hmm. So things are still messed up on the back end in the hospitality world. Hiring is still not easy. Mm-hmm. Companies are still not making what they need to make. So even though things look perfect on the front end, the back end of hospitality is still not perfect. Hiring is still very, very difficult. So cruising, think about this. You go on a 10-day cruise in the Mediterranean, right?
You got to set this up for me more because I know I'm not going in a 10-day cruise. So let me live vicariously through you just like my feed, Scott. All right, set it up. We're going on a 10-day cruise in the Mediterranean.
You're going on a 10-day cruise. I'll give you a real life example. In March, on the 9th, I am going on a 10-day cruise in the Mediterranean. I'm going on Princess Cruises. I'm going on their brand new ship and we're leaving Barcelona and we're ending up in Rome. But along the way, we're visiting Turkey, Spain, Italy, and one other country. So four countries in total, right? The only thing that is required for a passenger on that cruise itinerary is to fly into Barcelona and get on the ship. That's it.
Wow. Wow.
They book their flights. They coordinate that with the cruise line. The cruise line sets up a transfer from the airport directly to the port, or maybe they're coming in one day early, stay at a hotel, see Barcelona a little bit, and then the transfer goes from the hotel to the port, right? Once you're on the ship, you unpack once, and the countries come to you. Hypothetically, the first port you're going to, there's issues. There's a oil spill, or there's a strike at the port, or they're having a storm and weather's bad. The people on the ship, the captain and his whole crew, will work out logistics to visit another port to replace that because that port is not an option. While you're sitting at the pool drinking pina coladas.
Wow.
So you do nothing. Even when it's a stressful situation, you do nothing.
I like
the
that.
Best.
I like do nothing.
Now, on the flip
Take
side.
Take me more. Take me further. I want more.
Let's do the same 10-day itinerary. Four countries. You're flying into Barcelona. You're either catching a taxi from the airport to your hotel, or you're pre-setting it up with a airport transfer. You're booking the hotel. Do you have breakfast included or not? Are you paying extra for that? Where are you going for lunch? What activities are you doing that day? Where are you going for dinner? How are you getting to and from dinner?
Scott, this is why I don't travel. When I leave LA, it's more work for me to travel and to have a good day than here. I'm like, is this, that you got to figure out, learn something new. This is much of the reason why I don't get out much. Go ahead. I'm just saying.
But you're on a cruise ship. You're on a cruise ship. You have 7 restaurants to choose from. You have 15 bars to choose from. You have theater production shows every night. Again, you know, like people are asking me all the time, they're like, are you only in the cruise industry now? And I'm telling them, I'm like, no, but I go where the business is.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that right now the business is in cruising. So I'm cruising 10, 12 times a month.
Wow.
We did 27 countries last year.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I travel with a photographer. So we do full cruise ship photo shoots during the cruise, which is unheard of. Like, it's such a logistical nightmare because you have to plan everything when there's no people around, and we do food and beverage shoots, and
the interesting thing about your content is you make it look easy. Like, it doesn't feel like, I know what the production on the back end is.
And listen, that is where the sales side comes from.
Oh yeah. Like, you're
that's the sales side.
The expertise. I will say this, you're not saying this, I know you're a humble guy, but you invented this space. You're one of the first. Like, you've been doing this for a long time in terms of not just on platforms, but also on that niche. Like, as long as I've known you, and otherwise, like, you didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I want to be this travel guy. No, like, and I'm not, and nothing against anybody that does do that.
I mean, I'm probably 14 years strong.
That's what I mean. I'm not judging anybody else's content, but like, you're a vet in this game, and it's fun to watch what you do and for you to make it look so easy. When I'm looking at it sometimes, and I look at it and I'm like, yeah, that was a hard shot. Like, oh yeah, what? How much time went into that video that nobody will ever know?
Yeah.
Enjoy, and I enjoy.
Of course, people have no idea. So we just got back from Antarctica. Hold on, we just got back from Antarctica. And the photographer that I travel with, we were just talking yesterday, and he said, oh my God, I took too many pictures. Now he has spent the last few days just going through and deleting duplicates because you have to take duplicates when you're taking a picture of an iceberg in Antarctica because you have no idea how it's going to come out. I mean, he took easily probably 20 or 30,000 pictures.
Good God. Yeah. So, okay, Scott. So the big question I need to know is, when's this, like, when, okay, Princess, if you're listening to this, I need a mobile. We got to set up my podcast studio on one of these, man. I want, now you just added some vision to my head here. I probably podcast a solid 4 hours a day. That's a lot of content. How's the Wi-Fi and the connection with that when on these cruise lines? I'm guessing.
Listen,
good, right?
I was blown away how good the Wi-Fi was. We were deep in Antarctica on Princess Cruises, and the Wi-Fi was ridiculous. I was streaming Miami Heat games off the NBA app.
Oh, come on.
It was unbelievable. You have no idea.
Listen to what we just now said, how amazing this world is and this earth.
It's unreal.
Like, I always praise God on this stuff. I'm like, just the fact that we're having a conversation right now about you streaming an NBA game from your phone or tablet, whatever.
In Antarctica. I mean, listen, thank you, Elon, for Starlink, because all the cruise ships are going with it now.
Wow. See, cousin Elon does some good too, you know, whatever.
I love the guy so much. I'm waiting for him to, like, wake up and be like, all right, let's hire professionals and, like, let's get Twitter back. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
He's got something up his sleeve. I know. I don't know what, but he does, I'm sure.
right.
Well, Scott, hey, I know you're a busy guy, man. I really appreciate you coming back on the show, and I'm sure we'll be connecting more. And now you got this in my head, man. I'm gonna have a podcast studio on one of these cruise ships for a couple of days. I'm gonna figure this thing out.
Yeah,
man.
Bro.
I might start working on it because that's where it's at.
It's you.
It is me. I do my 4 or 5 hours podcasting, and then when I'm done, I walk out and I'm on vacation. Like, because to me, having conversations with you and doing what I'm doing now, that is a vacation for me. It's a privilege to be able to bring these conversations to my
dude audience. We should pitch a podcast and do it, like, oh man, we could It's a good pitch. Let's talk about it offline. It's a good pitch.
Absolutely talk about it offline. Before I let you go, though, I want you to please one more time let know everybody where they can follow you, because I want everybody to go check out Scott's content.
I'm at Mr. Scott Eddy, Eddy, on every platform. And that's also my website, MrScottEddy.com.
Awesome. Again, we'll post all that stuff, of course, as well. So at Mr. Scott Eddy, check it out. And to the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters and you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, I don't know why. Like, hit the subscribe button. It's not going to
bite. Yeah, what's wrong with you guys?
Hit it. Never done it yet. Scott, as always, man, really appreciate all you do and look forward to continue to build the relationship. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for having me.